This is Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
I shudder thinking how the world can be so cruel. I lend my voice to those who can't. It's time we try, it's time we care, it's time we stand. It starts with a voice.
Welcome to the Special Chronicles show. My name is Daniel Smukowski, and I'm the founder of Special Chronicles, a website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream archives of over 750 episodes absolutely for free, and follow Special Chronicles on social media, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This week on the Special Chronicles podcast, in celebration of Valentine's Day this week, we are celebrating this week's holiday focused on love with a special broadcast of an episode that goes behind the scenes of the feature-length documentary Autism in Love. Tune in as we go behind the scenes with director and producer Matt Fuller and producer Carolina Gruppa. This episode originally aired on January 10th, 2016, and at the time of the airing of this episode, the film was broadcasting that week on PBS. Today, you can currently watch Autism in Love film on demand. The link will be in the show notes on specialchronicles.com. Just look for episode 565. Please put your virtual hands together as we go behind the scenes with director and producer Matt Fuller and producer Carolina Gruppa about their feature-length documentary Autism in Love, right here on specialchronicles.com.
My name is Carolina Gruppa.
And I'm Matt Fuller, and we are from Autism in Love.
And you're listening to Special Chronicles Podcast, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
This is Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
I always knew I was different, but I didn't really understand why I couldn't be accepted. I felt incredibly ashamed of being autistic.
Sometimes I tried to pretend I was never autistic because they would kind of laugh at you. I'm single, by the way. Had one girlfriend, but it didn't quite work out that well.
Yes, I'm in love.
What does that mean?
I don't know, it means to fall in love, to give a kiss and a hug.
Love is a very abstract concept that many people with autism have a hard time grasping. I asked her, how would you feel about being in a relationship with me? She said, I could see this may work.
What did you think when you first met her?
It's nice. It was beautiful.
Did you think that he would be capable of a romantic relationship?
No, I didn't dare hope.
You know, I want one independent girl, but I feel like I can't. If I found a girl that had a job, had a car, had her own home, I can't be with her.
Look, they're up here, I'm down here.
Wearing the jewelry kind of makes me feel that sort of false sense of confidence, and it kind of makes me feel less vulnerable.
Well, it looks like the weather just came on. I was gonna catch a glimpse here.
We're so fixated on our comfort zones, it's sometimes difficult to communicate.
I gave Geeta a hug. I put my arms around her.
Whether someone can love you without truly understanding you, I think it's absolutely possible.
I love it when she holds me, hugs me, kisses me, smiles at me.
Love is neither visible, measurable. There's no way to quantify it.
And what's in here?
It's in here. It always will be.
How do you know when you're in love?
I don't know.
Joining us today on the Special Chronicles podcast show, Matt and Carolina, and Matt is the director and producer of the feature-length documentary Autism in Love, and Carolina is the producer of this film. Welcome to Special Chronicles, Matt and Kalina.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Daniel.
Thanks for having us.
So I think I first found out about your film, I think it was on Twitter or somewhere online. I'm looking forward to seeing the film. Why don't you first, for our listeners, give us an introduction about yourselves and a little bit about each of your backgrounds.
Sure. Do you want to take over, Matt, to start?
Yeah, sure. So a little bit about our backgrounds. Yeah. And yeah, sure. So, like I said, I'm Matt Fuller. I'm the director-producer of Autism in Love. This is my first feature-length film as a director, also the first feature-length documentary that I've worked on. My background is in studio-based fictional filmmaking. So I've worked as a development executive on a number of studio films here in Hollywood. And I'm just ever so excited to be sharing Autism in Love with the world. We're getting ready for our first public broadcast, and I'm very eager for the public to see the film.
Mm. And I have come up more from the sort of independent side of things, other side of the spectrum, pun intended. This is also my first feature-length film, also documentary. And one special thing that I always like to note is that neither Matt nor myself knew anything about autism before this documentary, which is always fun.
To be fair, we had both seen Rain Man.
Yes.
So, with that kind of not having that much background about autism, how did this documentary get started for you guys?
Yeah, so it actually started with a doctor who's also our executive producer. His name is Ira Halevale, and he has been in the autism field for about 20 years. And at the time, I had been working as an administrative assistant to him, and he wanted to do research on the topic of adults with autism and romantic relationships. And when I started helping him with that research, we quickly realized that there was nothing done on the topic. And so from there, you know, he wasn't sure if he wanted to write a book or a blog on this topic, and so we quickly started getting together what became the research part of this project. And from there, Matt got involved, and we saw, you know, the need to share this story, because there's so much out there on kids with autism, but nothing about what's going to happen to these kids once they grow up and have these needs and desires like everybody else. And so from there, we did about 6 months of research here locally in Los Angeles, and we sort of immersed ourselves into the autism community down here through meetup groups and sort of parent support groups and all. Anybody that would take us, basically, we went in and said, hey, we're here to learn, and we don't know anything about this, but we want to help tell an honest and compelling story about the reality of romantic relationships and those desires and with people with autism. And so that's sort of the genesis of the project. And I think, you know, from there we sort of use that process as a bit of casting. And then by the end of that year, we had the people we wanted to follow and sort of all the tools and financing we needed to shoot this film, which we shot for about a year in 2013. And here we are. It's been a ride.
So did you guys know anybody with autism prior to beginning the research process, was this really your first kind of introduction to working with people with autism?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was really the first time I knew or got to know anybody with autism on a personal level. I had a professor in college who I knew had a son with autism, and there had been, you know, kind of a few acquaintances I knew whose lives had been touched by autism, but I really didn't know anybody personally who had been affected by it.
So yeah, I mean, same. In working with Ira, I had met some people on the spectrum, but I never had a sort of, you know, personal and more direct connection or conversation with them.
So what have both of you guys learned from looking on this film about autism.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know, innumerable things, really. I mean, it's been such a rich learning experience and really an experiential experience. But I think the thing that most resonates with me, there's kind of two things. One is the complexity and uniqueness of each person on the autism spectrum. I really did not have a thorough appreciation for how vast and expansive autism can be and how uniquely it can manifest itself in the individuals on the spectrum. So I think I gained a deeper, more authentic appreciation for autism, and, you know, as kind of as a part of this process. And then, of course, making a film about romance, you know, necessitates you ponder your own concept of romantic love, and you know, I think that changed and sort of matured as the film was going on, and continues to every time I watch the movie.
So,
Carolina, did you have anything to add there?
Yeah, I was just going to say I agree with everything Matt said, but just also piggyback, I think it just teaches you on a grander level just a little bit more of compassion and awareness for all people who society wants to define as different from us and how we are more alike than different in so many ways, especially when it comes to romantic love. That was definitely a big lesson that I took away from it.
Neat, absolutely. Matt, how did you come to direct and produce this film? And then Carolina, how did you come to produce this film? You mentioned one of your other producer, Lyra, had kind of introduced you guys to this story, but can you share with us any behind the scenes story?
Sure.
of how you guys came to direct and produce this film?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, my version of that's pretty short. Carolina brought me into the project. we knew each other in college, and I'll let her explain the rest, but she brought me into the fold.
Yeah, I actually, working with Ira, the doctor you were mentioning, who's now our executive producer and partner in this project, was more of a day job for me. As I mentioned, I've kind of come up through the independent side of the industry, and so that requires juggling a 9-to-5, if you will, while tackling other projects that I want to be focusing on. So independent films, short films, commercials, all of that stuff. So Ira knew about my interest and my passions and where they were very early on. From before I hired him, I was very candid with him about, you know, what I wanted out of working with him and why I wanted that job. And so he knew that I had a past and a lot of understanding of production and film, and so when he pitched me the idea, I had a very preliminary understanding. He had some of the knowledge and the know-how of how to make something of this scale happen, and from there, as Matt mentioned, you know, we were looking for someone who could direct this, and Matt was the first person that came to mind because it's such a sensitive subject matter and really requires a lot of finesse and tact and handling. You know, how are you going to get people, anyone really, but people who are very particular and can take a lot of time to open up to trust you very quickly with a camera in their face, you know? And I definitely had a feeling that Matt was going to be able to do that, which, as you can see from the film, he definitely did.
So can you guys share with us any other personal stories of why you decided to go ahead and produce this film? Like, is there any other, from going through the filmmaking process and talking with the individuals that you had featured in the film, can you share with us any inspiring stories that really made you decide to finish producing the film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that without giving too much away about the film, there are a lot of inspiring moments in the film that we, of course, didn't discover until we were making it. Yeah. That reinforced that idea of commitment to the project. But from the beginning, on a grander scale, the idea of creating a film that was not only a compelling cinematic experience, but also something that had some kind of pro-social agenda behind it was really compelling to me. I mean, the idea of being able to further a conversation or in many cases begin a conversation about adults with autism and their romantic lives promised to be very fulfilling for me. So that was certainly a draw.
Yeah, and I think using, you know, my skills and knowledge to create something that helps people is definitely not, producing documentaries is never something I thought I would do. You know, if you had told me 4 years ago, like, hey, we're going to be working on this thing with autism, I would have said, that's crazy, because I knew nothing about it. I'd never produced a documentary. But it really is true, and I feel like it's a gift that's been handed to me, and I think I speak for Matt, because we didn't know anything about this topic, and we were so quickly embraced by the community, and to be honest, like, it almost feels like the stories that unfolded and presented themselves to us were just so incredible. And when you watch the film and you see what we were able to get and the access that we had in such a limited amount of time, it really is one of those things that I believe on a spiritual level was sort of meant to be, you know, how everything just aligned.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry. Okay, phone's off.
So just everything aligning the way it did, it's something we could never have planned for. And I mean, I could not have planned for it in my wildest dreams. And so to be on the other side of that, I mean, going through that process of making a film was very, this process was very scary, because it's a documentary and these people's lives don't stop just because we stop rolling, you know, cameras. And so to really trust that the stories that we ended up getting were going to unfold while they were unfolding, it was very scary, but also exhilarating. And to be on the other side of it and looking at what we've been able to create and how it keeps affecting people and audiences every time we screen it and talk to people like yourself, I mean, that is the greatest gift. And I don't think I ever expected in my wildest dreams when we started this endeavor, like almost 4 years ago, that this is where we would be now. So.
So our guest today on Special Chronicles are Matt and Kalina from the feature-length documentary Autism in Love. So share with us a little bit about how you came to feature the individuals with autism in the film, and did you hear any, as you were filming their stories, what were some of their thoughts about having those stories and their romantic love stories to be shown on film?
Well, let me make sure I understand your question. You're wondering about some stories that actually kind of unfolded for us in the making of the film?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we probably don't want to give too much away at this point just because our broadcast is right around the corner, but it suffice to say, it was important to us to capture a range of stories that represented, you know, the breadth of romance, right? So you're kind of like three pillars to that. You're either looking for a romantic relationship, you're in a relationship, or you're on your way out of one. And I think we were fortunate enough to capture stories that satisfied each of those three pillars. You know, and then of course we wanted to be able to showcase the breadth of people on the spectrum. So, you know, one film cannot accurately represent the entire autism spectrum, but it was certainly important to us to have diversity in the way that people were affected by autism that showed up on screen. So that was really important to us. And I think in terms of specific stories, you know, I guess we can say that a lot of very meaningful events take place in each of the subjects' lives, and we were fortunate enough to capture that, and it's in the movie.
So, Kilnina, can you share with us how you found the individuals whose stories you both wanted to tell throughout the film?
Yeah, you mean how we found the people that ended up participating in the film?
Yeah, through the research process that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, definitely. We ended up talking to, I want to say, about 40 adults with autism on camera in the research process. And from there, we ended up selecting, just through their interest and their openness to us, you know, being a part of their lives, we ended up following, I want to say, about two or three of those. And then from there, it just became word of mouth. You know, somebody knew somebody, and we would meet people and sort of assess, would they be interesting? How would they fit maybe in the grand scheme of this story? And then we actually followed 9 individuals. And in the actual film, you'll see it's only 4 storylines. I'm sorry, 3 storylines. So it's 6, just trying to do the math in my head.
Four individuals for three stories.
But that, you know, in the span of the 9 months we were in production, we followed a lot more people, and, you know, for many reasons, they were not in the final cut of the film. But it's not because their stories weren't as compelling. We just can't, you know, that's more of a mini series than a documentary. We just have so much footage that we would love to share. But that, I think Matt can attest to the fact that we felt the stories that we ended up with were the most interesting to the narrative that we were wanting to tell and the thesis of romantic relationships on the spectrum.
So, Matt, kind of speaking to that, how did you come to find that a narrative? And I'm assuming that you guys had a lot of footage. So how do you guys come to break down all the footage that you had to really find a compelling narrative for the viewers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that really is the editorial process of filmmaking in a nutshell. So, you know, in the beginning, when you're selecting people to put in front of the camera, you're not scripting, but you're looking for people who are in pursuit of something, or at least show the promise of change over the course of production. That change can be small or big, but just, you know, the pursuit of something is generally what you're looking for. And then when you're in the editorial process, it's shading away the things that distract from that through line, and you know, leaving those on the cutting room floor, as it were, to create a lean kind of narrative. And when you're creating something with an ensemble cast like this, each of those stories complements the other to say something grander and larger and affect the audience in a particular way. And so while a singular story may be very interesting and compelling, when you juxtapose that to 3 or 4 others, it may detract from the meta-narrative in a way that, you know, is not healthy for the film. So it's a tough process, and it's never easy, particularly when you get so close to subjects and you've spent so much time with them. It's never easy to not include those in the final product. But, you know, again, like Caroline said, it's in service of the narrative that we wanted to tell, and to make it as lean and effective as possible.
And did you guys have to get permission from the individuals because you guys filmed a lot of different people, and then you, as you said, you edited it down. From the people that didn't really make the final cut, can you share? Did you hear anything from those individuals as well as the individuals that you that ended up making the final cut of the film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as the folks who didn't end up in the final cut of the film, you know, those were difficult conversations. Of course, we wanted to be candid about that and let them know that ahead of time. And those are, you know, not easy conversations to have, but everyone was very gracious and understanding. And I think everyone who, you know, put themselves in front of the camera in this project was, you know, interested in the cause, and they trusted that we were making the decisions that were right for that agenda, and I don't think they took that personally. And everybody who's in the film, you know, is a strong supporter as well, and I think that they they really put a lot into the process and the project, and I think they're proud of it.
So can you both share with us a little bit about the mission of the film? What do you guys hope that the viewers will gain from, like, if you could kind of put together a mission statement of what you really hope the viewers will learn from the film?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, my thought is that I hope that it doesn't feel so much like learning or taking away, but rather experiencing. And that is experiencing the lives of adults with autism as they pursue something that is universally desired. I hope, as a result of those experiences, the audience has a more complete and complex understanding of what an autism spectrum disorder is. And I hope they also reevaluate or maybe challenge their own ideas of romantic connection and what it means to be connected to someone in that way.
Do you have anything to add to that about the mission?
I think Matt, you know, pretty much hit everything on the head there. But you know, I think it's, to reiterate, it's just the power of documentaries to allow us to sort of be a part of someone else's experience in a really safe way, an honest way, I think is such a great tool, you know, to give people that access. And so the compassion and just the conversations, I think if this can be the beginning of a conversation that I think needs to get started, then I feel like we've done our part of to start the piece of the puzzle.
Neat. So is there a inspiring moment that you guys found from looking on the film, though, with any of the cast of the film, or any kind of inspiring behind the scenes story that you took away from the film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so much of that, it's really hard to pick one. And you know, again, I want to leave enough for people who are listening to this to enjoy the surprises in the film. So I'll just say it's chock full of them. But I had this moment the other day, and this has happened a few times throughout like the film's life in film festivals and such. But I did a YouTube search for Autism in Love and came across a review that a few folks had done of the film. They had seen it in a community screening that PBS had facilitated, and they were reviewing the film, and they themselves had some developmental challenges, and it was just almost like an out-of-body experience to watch other people have this really deep emotional reaction to something that we worked so hard on to create, and to watch it be out there in the world on its own and do exactly what we hoped it would do was really very moving for me.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. There's a lot of, you know, great stories from production, but I think personally for me, the strongest, most memorable stories definitely have come from some of the Q&As that we've been doing since the film has, you know, gone to festivals and whatnot, and just being able to share the film with an audience, sitting with the audience as they watch it, and then being there right after to be a part of that emotional experience and answer questions and talk to people who are on the spectrum and have people come up to us and share their stories and how it's affected them. And I mean, that is, at every single time for me, is just like a transformative experience and definitely pulls at my heartstrings. And it's just a constant reminder of doing something that is so beyond myself or my own sort of career ambitions.
Yeah, neat. So you both mentioned that you showed the film at a few different film festivals. Can you share with us the response you got from the viewers who saw that film? Mm-hmm. Was it others who had autism who were in the audience, or Kelly, you mentioned a few stories that you would can you both share some of that with our listeners?
Yeah, there was a little boy, and I can't remember. It's definitely a high class problem, you know, which of the festivals it was at. I want to say it was either in San Francisco or in Arkansas, but his mom, after the film, was crying, I believe, because I guess she was nervous about him watching it. He was young. He was probably, do you remember him, Matt?
Yeah,
like 10 years old.
Yeah, at Bentonville.
In Bentonville.
Right.
Yeah, so that little boy, he didn't say much, you know, he didn't say much to us, but seeing how his mom was affected, and even though he didn't verbalize much, his body language spoke otherwise, and he wanted to be around us after and wanted to take photos with us, and he was just so excited by it all. So the effect it had on him, I don't know, I can't speak for that, but the way it was shown to us through his mom and through him, that for me was very touching, extremely touching and memorable.
Yeah, I remember a moment in we had the chance to show the film in Querétaro, Mexico, and it was one of the first times that the film had been screened in a foreign language. So in other words, it was subtitled, and you know, I mean, I was worried about how the film would translate if it would cross the language barrier, and it was so moving to see the audience's reaction. I remember a mother, kind of similar to the story Carolina just shared, coming up to me after the film and speaking in Spanish through a translator, and just in tears because she for the first time felt hope for her son, hope that he might have a relationship someday and that love was possible for him. So, you know, seeing those reactions out in the world is really the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Who would you guys hope that the audience is, or who do you hope that when you made the film, who did you have in mind for the film? Mm-hmm. Be geared for? Is it geared for others with autism, like the ones that were featured in the film, or is it for people who may not have autism, or kind of who?
Yeah, I mean, I think we want both of those demographics to see and appreciate the film, but for my money, what's more important are the people who don't have a relationship with autism, who don't know much about autism, or are maybe a little intimidated by autism. Those are the people that I hope see the film and grow the most from it, because they stand to gain as much, if not more, than those who are on the spectrum or have someone in their life already that is on the spectrum. That being said, the idea of inspiration and hope going to folks who are on the spectrum or maybe have a child on the spectrum, that was always something that we wanted to deliver on.
Yeah.
So I guess today on Special Chronicles, on Matt and Carolina from the feature length to documentary Autism in Love. Now, were any of the cast in the film, were any of them self-advocates within the autism or special needs community, or did you have any self-advocates consult on the film? I think I might have read somewhere, and I may have this wrong, but I think Kiwi Nagwo, who's a self-advocate, I don't know if you guys have done any work with him, or he's a self-advocate.
I remember Kerry. I think we bumped into him first on the Huffington Post, and we became friendly, and I think that he came to see our movie in Tribeca. Carolina,
yeah.
I don't know if you, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in Tribeca. He didn't, so he saw the movie after it was done and yeah. Had some really kind things to say about it. Two of our subjects, Lindsay and Dave, who are a couple, they are self-advocates. They do a lot of speaking. They're very instrumental in the community and are really very effective speakers and advocates for the community.
Neat. And did you guys Do you guys use any of that feedback from any of the soft advocates, or did Kelly provide any feedback for you guys? And so you guys made sure to have an accurate story through the film.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I mentioned, Kerry saw the movie after it was done, and so he didn't really provide any feedback in that capacity. But I think once you see the film, you'll appreciate that there's, you know, we're not doing a lot to editorialize autism.
Yeah,
we're letting the subjects speak for themselves, and so the movie become like, in a sense, the autism goes away pretty quickly because we're not talking about it. We're just experiencing these folks' lives. And so as accurate as we wanted to be and make sure that we were authentically portraying our subjects, we didn't want any heavy hands kind of molding the impression that we were giving of autism, because we wanted it to come from our subjects.
Yeah. So would you guys say that you let that the viewers will hopefully gain, that the individuals that you guys had focused the few stories to be on, that they're individuals just like everybody else, and that the autism that they may have is just in the background and isn't the primary focus?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that, you know, people recognize that autism is one part of these people.
Yeah.
They're people first. They're complex, unique individuals, just like everybody else. They have their own wants and desires and fears, concerns, hopes, and dreams. And autism isn't all they are. They happen to have autism, and that presents unique challenges in many of their pursuits. But that said, it doesn't define who they are. And so, yeah, I hope that people who are not on the spectrum watching the film do relate to them, and relate to the things they're going through in pursuit of romance.
Neat. Kevin, are you going to add anything to?
No.
Right. So can you share with us briefly about some of the themes that you hope that the viewers will gain from the film?
Well, I think Carolina touched on one that's really important earlier, which is compassion and empathy. And maybe the most important, you know, just understanding that each person is going through a unique journey with a unique set of challenges, and offering compassion and understanding to people you meet and may not know the breadth or depth of their story is a theme that I think is pretty evident in the film. And then the other one that jumps out is self-love, self-care, and acceptance of yourself.
Neat. So this week we're airing our conversation today either before Monday or kind of right around Monday, January 11th. The film is going to be airing on PBS. It's part of the Independent Lens series, and then as we before going on air, you mentioned that this spring it's going to be coming on to Netflix. Can you share with us both of your thoughts on the film to appear on PBS, and then coming up in the spring on Netflix?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the more people that can see the film, the better. And PBS, Independent Lens, has proved to be such an amazing partner in getting this film out there. I mean, they have a huge reach, they have a huge viewership, but they've also just embraced the film, become really big fans of it, and pushed hard to make it visible to as many people as possible. So that's really exciting. You know, and the Netflix component of it, I think, Daniel, you and I were chatting before we got started here about how exciting that is. I think that our generation consumes most of their media, particularly documentaries, through Netflix.
Yeah.
And I think we just got a detail that it looks like right now the release date for Autism in Love on Netflix is going to be April 1st, which fortunately coincides with National Autism Awareness Month.
Which actually on the second, and Autism Awareness Day is on the 2nd, so it's actually like a really great side into that, just a great tie-in to kick off the month. I wonder if that's why they did that.
Yeah. Sneaky Netflix. But that's really exciting. I mean, just, you know, just to have the film out there is amazing. When you're making a project like this, you run the risk of it, like, living on a hard drive somewhere and never seeing the light of day. So that it's getting the attention it is feels like really something very special.
Neat. And Kalina, do you have any additional thoughts to share about that, about the film appearing on PBS and then on April 1st on Netflix?
I'm just grateful the film is getting, you know, seen and that many people will have access to it, and hope that it'll become a platform for people to start having this discussion, and that they also know that we are accessible to them. You know, we're on Facebook and social media, we're very active, and through our website and whatnot, and it'll be great to hear from people what they think and how the film resonates with them.
So speaking of that, welcome our listeners, find out more about the film. You mentioned that you guys are accessible on social media.
Yeah.
Any plugs to share?
Sure. Yeah, autismandlove.com is our hub. So there you can find information on purchasing the film everywhere. You can find out screenings that we have coming up, if any, and also links to all of our social media. And there's also a contact form on there if anybody decides they want to reach out to us.
Neat. And I'm assuming that once it's on Netflix, will you guys put a link up on there?
Yeah, we're mostly active through our Facebook page. That's where we post most of our updates about the film. So definitely if people want to like us on Facebook, and it's just facebook.com/autismandlove, that's where we post most of the news that we have.
Neat. One thing I forgot to ask, but how did you guys come up with the title, Autism in Love? Is that mainly because of the storylines that you guys had, or
I think actually the credit for that inadvertently goes to our executive producer Ira.
Yeah,
who wrote it in a context that was not, I don't think, intended to be the title.
Yeah.
Or at least the final title of the project. But I fell in love with it. I think Carolina did too.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't go away. And I love the title. I think that's one of the coolest parts of the movie.
Yeah. And we honestly couldn't, we thought for a while, oh, we'll try to maybe find something else that fits this better, but nothing really matched how much is said by the title in so few words, even if it isn't, I think, what is it, grammatically correct?
As the Hollywood Reporter so eloquently highlighted.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners watch the film on, depending on when they hear this, on January 11th, 2016 on PBS? So, but is it also, yeah, is it going to air like, again on PBS? So you mentioned before going on the air that will also be on their website on PBS?
So a good place to start is pbs.org. And you can look at your local listing times. It may vary by an hour or so, depending on where you live. But the standard broadcast time is 10 p.m. on Monday, January 11th. If folks miss that, PBS will be streaming it through their website for a week following the broadcast. The other opportunity you have is to visit us at autismandlove.com. There we have links to all the digital retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, etc., if you want to download a copy of the film. And very shortly, we are also going to be offering DVDs and Blu-rays through our website.
Awesome. Will we be able to give away a copy of the DVD to our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'd have to just circle back on that, because we are in the middle of figuring out the manufacturing and procedure of all that stuff. But
we'd love to. off ale.
Right, exactly.
So, go back to my notes here. Any final thoughts about your overall time here today on the Special Chronicles that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here and share our thoughts with you, and we hope your listeners find a way to see the film and share it with all their friends, and if they have any feedback, thoughts, questions, or concerns, we'd love to hear from them.
Yeah, I agree with that, and the other just sort of thing I like to preface with is that it's okay to laugh. You know, we have a lot of funny moments in the film that are not poking fun or at anyone. It's just the humor in life, and I think if people go in with the permission knowing that they can laugh at certain things, that it helps them in the experience.
Well, awesome. Thank you again for taking the time to come on Special Chronicles, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
Support for Special Chronicles comes from listeners like you. As an independent public media podcast, Special Chronicles will always be there for you. Now we're asking you to be there for us. As a nonprofit independent media organization, we can only make programs like Special Chronicles with listener support. Our programs provide weekly, candid, honest, and inspiring conversations about the people with disabilities community that creates awareness, support, and advocacy within each week's episode. Listeners tell us our shows are an enjoyable and necessary podcast for the intellectual and developmental disability community and everyone else who is able to listen to stories about life from a different angle. Please, if you and your family love our weekly podcasts, make a one-time, monthly, or annual gift of thanks today. Support this podcast at specialchronicles.com/give. That's specialchronicles.com/give. Support for Special Chronicles comes from ComEd. Special Chronicles is proud to partner with the ComEd Energy Force Ambassador Program. The Energy Force is the country's first energy efficiency education program designed for and taught by people with disabilities. ComEd is powering lives, and Wary is powering us here at Special Chronicles to keep the lights on and our technology is powered on. As ComEd powers the lives of us, they are literally giving a voice to people with special needs. We thank ComEd for the generous support of our mission at Special Chronicles. Learn more at specialchronicles.com/ComEd. That's specialchronicles.com/ComEd. Support for Special Chronicles comes from United Airlines Bridge Disability Business Resource Group. Special Chronicles is proud to partner with United Airlines and the Bridge BLG. Bridge BLG is committed to being an ally for all employees and customers with disabilities. Bridge helps to create internal awareness to keep accessibility needs in mind and partner with key organizations to empower disability inclusion for employment and travel. Bridge, connecting people of all abilities. Book your travel today on united.com or on the award-winning United app. Learn more on United's commitment to disability inclusion for employment and travel at specialchronicles.com/united. That's specialchronicles.com/united.
We're not just athletes.
We are the ambassadors of an uprising.
Peaceful protesters.
In a rebellion against anyone
who has a fear of difference. Difference.
Difference. Our demands are
equality.
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 Dignity.
Dignity.
Dignity. And the recognition of our
shared humanity.
We will not stop
or accept anything less.
Today, our world is
more divided than ever.
And coming together has never been more urgent.
The revolution
is inclusion.
Find out more at jointherevolution.org.
And on that note, I hope, this is Daniel, founder of Special Chronicles and the host of the Special Chronicles podcast. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, as this week, in celebration of Valentine's Day this week, we have been celebrating this week's holiday focused on love with a special rebroadcast of an episode that you just heard, that where we went behind the scenes of the feature-length documentary Autism and Love. Hopefully you enjoyed this behind-the-scenes look with director Medusa Matt Fuller and Medusa Carolina Gropa. We'll put links in the show notes to where you can learn more about the film and how to watch the film. Once again, Autism in Love. That is autisminlove.com is where you can go to learn more about the film. Hopefully, if you know somebody with autism, you just want to hear more about this documentary, you will definitely, hopefully this episode has piqued your interest to go and watch the film. You can watch it on demand on Vimeo on demand, and rent it for $5. I believe it's $4.99, so $5. And you'll be able to rent it for a 24-hour period of time. And on that, we've got a few final reminder plugs on this episode. I'd like to encourage you to support our Special Chronicles 2024 giving campaign. Our goal was to raise $15,000, and we currently, at the time of the recording of this episode, which is the beginning of February, we have not reached our goal. Hopefully you all will go and help us so we can operate our studio and continue our mission, giving respect and voice to people with disabilities. Visit specialchronicles.com/give. That's specialchronicles.com/give. Or just head on over to specialchronicles.com, click on Give Now, and you can support this podcast with a one-time or monthly donation. I also would like to encourage you to shop our merchandise store. Shop our merchandise store and show your support of Special Chronicles. Our Special Chronicles store is managed by Outshine Labels. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and much more merch with our Disabled Voices Matter line of merch. When you shop our merchandise store, you will know that 60% of the profits, once again, that is 60% of the profits will support us. You can visit our merchandise store at specialchronicles.com/shop. That's specialchronicles.com/shop. Or just head on over to specialchronicles.com, click on shop, and know that 60% of the profits will support us. Where you can go ahead and buy a t-shirt, hoodie, and much more about Disabled Voices Matter line of merch. And on that note, I believe that pretty much brings it to the end of this episode. I hope, once again, that you have enjoyed hearing all about the Autism and Love documentary. Be sure to keep following the Special Chronicles podcast. So tap that follow button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. As new episodes drop weekly, that's right, every Monday. Don't miss our original content that will help you make impactful and inclusive connections in your life through our weekly podcasts. Our weekly podcast, which is the Special Chronicles show that you're listening to right now. We also have the Georgia and Daniel show, and that which is a monthly podcast, and we have 8 original series that have reached 96,000 views and 21,000 downloads in the past 15 years. Remember, visit specialchronicles.com. Once again, our website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream our archives of over 750 episodes absolutely for free. And follow Special Chronicles on Instagram, Facebook, Axel, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and on as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with. Should I give you a little preview? I think I shall give you. We'll give you an exclusive podcast preview of the next couple episodes of this month, February 2024. Next week, we will hopefully be talking with a new friend of the podcast, Grace Payne, Special Olympics New Zealand athlete leader and newly selected Southern Survivor Global Messenger. And a little fun fact, Grace is the first Southern Survivor Global Messenger from New Zealand. And at the end of February, and so that episode will hopefully be available to listen on demand on February 19th. And then dropping on February 26th, we will be rebroadcasting an interview with our friends Ben and Amy White, the co-founders of Biddy and Bo's Coffee, as you hear more about the story of how Ben and Amy, before they started Biddy and Bo's Coffee. And so that episode will be that will be available on demand on February 26th. So that is a little preview of what's coming up. And if you know somebody who has a story, somebody in our disability community who wants to be on this podcast, feel free to drop me a note. Visit specialchronicles.com. Click on contact. Once again, specialchronicles.com. Click on contact. And you can find out how to get in touch with me or my producer. And until then, have a great week. Happy Valentine's Day this week. It's a holiday of love. And we'll catch you next week right here on specialchronicles.com. Until then, remember, choose to include and disabled voices matter. Talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Special Chronicles podcast. Our podcast was produced by Daniel Smukowski on the Special Chronicles Network. Follow Special Chronicles on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Subscribe, rate, and review Special Chronicles on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream our archives of over 500 episodes for absolutely for free. Also, there's a list of our favorites, original series, award-winning columns, and blogs. And sign up for our newsletter to receive exclusive bonus content delivered to your inbox. Again, specialchronicles.com. Special Chronicles is hosted by Podbean Podcast Hosting. Our live streams are powered by StreamYard. Thanks, as always, to our business manager, Adam Smukowski, who always encourages us to never give up. I'm Daniel Smukowski, back next week with more stories.
Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.